Lord, may the words of my mouth be your words so that they will be pleasing to you, honoring to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Yesterday, Daryl introduced our theme for the week, Flourishing Through Holistic Soul Care, what it means to care for ourselves as we care for others, kind of so that we can care for others as well. Flourishing through holistic soul care, which is exactly what we see Jesus doing in this passage that was so beautifully presented to us by the students. Amen. As many of you know, part of my ministry is teaching globally in the area of biblical worship and spiritual formation. This past February, when I was in leading a retreat in Sierra Leone, West Africa, I met Pastor Abu. And he was in the retreat I was leading. He was a part of the ministry there. And the retreat was on soul care, holistic soul care. And he came to me and he said, you know, I have a real hard time wanting to be like Jesus in my ministry. And I said, well, why is that? And he said, well, Jesus was just so busy. I mean, he was always going here and going there and healing people and, you know, like being attacked and, you know, doing miracles, and it was just so busy, it was exhausting. I said, I really don't feel like that's the kind of ministry that I want to have. I said, well, let's just continue on with our retreat here, and hopefully things will change. And it was exciting that at the end, towards the end of the retreat, he came to me and he said, you know, I get it. I get it. Because we looked at passages like this Matthew passage about how Jesus cared for himself. He modeled for us healthy ministry by taking care of himself, this soul care. And so Pastor Abu said, yes, I can see now. That's what I want to model my ministry after, is the way Jesus cared for himself in the midst of ministry. Jesus modeled soul care as he took time away for silence, prayer, and solitude. At the end, he was by himself. Jesus stole away from the crowds at important times, before intense periods of ministry and before important decisions needed to be made, and even after intense periods of ministry. He took time for himself. He valued time alone with his Father. Needed to become refreshed, to regroup, to hear from his Father, to just sit in silence with his gracious God. And time to pray for his followers, to pray for his enemies, for those especially who were plotting his demise. We can learn from the model that Christ lived out for us in relation to soul care through intentional times of silence and solitude. And we can learn from Jesus' use of scripture in various contexts that we know he spent time to understand and deeply know the word as it applied to all of life. Sure, he was a part of writing the scriptures, so he knew them well, but what he models for us is that it's worth spending time to know the word. It's worth spending time to have it so ingrained in us that it flows out of us. I think of a convocation and Jack Van Marien, who had memorized the Sermon on the Mount, and it just flowed out of him to bless us. Words that came out of Danelle as she preached that were words of scripture that were embedded in her heart and in her life that just flowed out of her because they had spent time memorizing these chunks, these passages. And Jesus did that too. He quoted scripture. He would, as he addressed the crowds, he would say, so as you've heard, as you know, and knowing that they would have heard these same words in the synagogue, and he referred back to them, you've heard it said. He quoted often when he was in the synagogue and in the temple. Quoted from Isaiah when he was showing his displeasure with the money changers in the temple. So we can practice soul care Jesus style by memorizing chunks of scripture and then letting it dwell in us and letting it flow out of us. Another practice with scripture that I've used and really come to value is called Lectio Divina. Lectio Divina. And Lectio Divina, basically the Lectio is we get the lectionary, we get reading, so it's, and then Divina is that godly or spiritual divine reading. So it's basically taking time to sit in the Word, to sit in a small passage of scripture and to listen to what God has to say to us, to allow the Word to form us. So we dwell in the Word and let the Word dwell in us. And with Lectio, there is a pattern. I'm not going to go through that with you. I'd be happy to send you to some websites or you can Google it yourself. But the whole idea is to be still. Be still and let God speak through His Word. And that takes time. We can't, a Bible study is one thing and it's important and it's great. Bible study for your papers, for your theological and historical and biblical points, chapters of your papers is so important. But I encourage you to take those same passages that you're studying and pouring into for writing or for preaching or for speaking or teaching, and then just sit with them and let them dwell in you. And read them over a few times and say, Lord, what do you want to say to me through this passage? And what do you want me to do with this? So many of you probably grew up like I did, where you had this little Bible study plan, and it was read, ponder, ask, and do, or something like that. That's pretty much what the ancient monastic form of Lectio Divina is. So it's pretty amazing to me that Bible Gateway comes out with all these Bible reading plans, and they don't use any of the words from Lectio Divina, but that's what they are. And it's beautiful. So bringing back these very important ways to sit in Scripture and let it form us. Let God form us through His Word. To do that soul care, to minister to our hearts through His Word. Along with Lectio Divina, I've also come to love what's called Visio Divina. So again, it's the seeing, the vision, and this godly seeing or godly gazing, spiritually gazing at a piece of art that comes out of a scripture passage. And so as you gaze at the piece of art, which gazing takes time too, you can't, it's not just glancing. Gazing, you have to sit with it and really look at the picture while the passage is being read, or you go back and forth if it's just you to the passage. And ask God, what do you want to say to me through this picture that comes from this passage? And sit with it. What comes, what is the first thing you see? What does that mean, Lord, that I'm focused on that? And you go through this process and ask God again to form you through what you're seeing and hearing, to stop and smell the roses. Because it engages our right brain, Visio Divina is well suited to complement your study experience here at IWS. So as you're sitting with a passage that you're studying for your biblical chapter or whatever else you're working on, I would encourage you to look around for some artwork that speaks to you from that passage and sit with that as well. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you, tend to your soul, care for your soul through the art. When teaching in other cultures, in cultural contexts, and leading spiritual exercises like Visio Divina, I always try to find local artwork to use. For example, for a meditation on Psalm 23, I used a piece from Sierra Leone that was, or I think it was from Uganda, and I used it in Kenya and Uganda and Sierra Leone. And then I used another one for the Philippines by local artists. The art speaks to the people there. A shepherd from Iowa would not have done well in those contexts. But these spoke. Jesus would often say, consider the lilies. Look at the birds of the air. Look at the fields ripe unto harvest. And he used the art of creation that was all around to draw our eyes to what God is doing in our world and in us, caring for our souls. silence, solitude, prayer, sitting in the Word. This is just a beginning to a life of soul care, tending to our souls. I'm going to quickly tell just an example. There's a jazz pianist called Harry Connick Jr. All right, I see a lot of you smiling. And there's a YouTube clip. I wanted to play it, but it's surely copyrighted, so we couldn't do that. But the audience was clapping on 1 and 3, and they were not supposed to be doing that. It was supposed to be 2 and 4. And so Harry Connick, in his amazing style, did this harmonic, adjustment, not adjustment. Just a minute, I lost it here. What is it?
Displacement,
yes. So he did this amazing rhythmic displacement to get the crowd back on sync. Amazing. So I encourage you to go Harry Connick Jr. rhythmic displacement and find this. I am not musically trained, obviously, because I couldn't even remember the name of it, of what it's called, but I could tell when things were back in sync. You know, that's the thing about our spiritual life. Maybe for a little while, you can't tell, but then you can tell. You know, and others around you know. And yet it takes that rhythmic displacement, that God entering into our lives, allowing the Holy Spirit to change us, to make that rhythmic displacement in our own lives, to get us back in sync. And these are the things that we're talking about this week, the things that we can care for our soul to allow the space and the time for the Holy Spirit to work. What rhythmic displacement do you need to make in your life right now? What is it that you need for your soul care to get back into sync? What do you need to ask God for? Let us enter into a season of silence.